Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are just about to the end of the third chapter, 1 Corinthians. We still just basically have one more verse, and then I think some applications that we need to make from the last section of this chapter. The chapter basically has three sections, and we've been sojourning in the third section for some time, verses 16 through 23. And if we didn't put all this together in a package in its context, I don't think we would understand what Paul is saying, because there are a lot of statements here that you read them and you scratch your head and say, what does he mean by that? What is he talking about there? But when you get it all together in the flow of the passage, when you put the individual text within its context, then it all begins to become very clear. So this section basically is about God's purpose for the church. And Paul goes back and forth in talking about the local church. On the one hand, you all are the temple of God. He's talking about the church at Corinth. And then the church universal. As I have discovered in studying the New Testament, the New Testament doesn't really make a big distinction between the church local and the church universal. We do. We tend to make a big distinction, drive a huge wedge between those two. And some people are all for one and not so much for the other. Going both ways. Some are all for the local church and don't have much interest in the church universal. Kind of dismiss that. And then there are others that go the other way. They place all their eggs in the universal church basket and don't have any eggs for the local church basket. And that's clearly wrong as well. But Paul goes back and forth between the two in this passage, as the Bible does consistently throughout the New Testament. But we're walking my way through this passage once again, and I will do that in just a moment. We'll come to the end and then understand what God says about the church and how he values it and how he uses it and how he empowers it. And therefore, we need to learn to value it and to become involved with it and to trust God to do his work through it as he promises to do. And so thank you for joining me on this Monday, June 28, and thank you for helping me with the cost of maintaining this ministry on this station. So what do we have? Starting back in verse 16 and 17, Paul tells us that we need to understand the church properly. It's God's temple. It's a local entity. It's God's dwelling place. And this is a basic doctrine that we all need to understand. And it's something that God values. There are many indications in this passage of how highly God values the church. So understand the church. And then number two, understand wisdom. That's verses 18 through 20. We spent quite a little time on that. But here, Paul contrasts worldly wisdom with true wisdom and shows us how to distinguish between the two and how to acquire true wisdom. And he makes it very clear that the source of true wisdom is God himself, and anything that presents itself as wisdom that is contrary to God's wisdom is not wisdom, it's foolishness. And therefore recognize this common deception, namely that human wisdom is the superior wisdom. It's not. Divine wisdom is the superior wisdom. human wisdom must constantly be corrected by divine wisdom, that is, divine revelation, that is, the Word of the Living God. If you are going to pursue divine wisdom, you're going to have to be willing to be thought foolish yourself. But you know that you're not the foolish one. It is those who are following human wisdom who are being foolish. But finally, you've got to understand God's purposes for the church, to exalt the church, to provide for the church, and to embrace the church. And that's the last three verses. Verse 21, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. All things are yours. He's talking here about the church. In the context of what he's talking about here, all things are yours. You who are members of the church in Corinth, you who are members of the temple of the living God, you all are in the temple of God, remember? Well, in that context, all things are yours. That's a pretty broad statement. What does that include? All things? Well, what do you mean? Everything that's of any value, it's yours. God gives it to the church to accomplish his purposes. That shows you how God exalts the church. God promises to provide for the church, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, three preachers that Christ gave to the church. That's part of these all things that he's talking about. All things are yours. The church is provided with the leaders that it needs to succeed. God sees to that. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. He makes that statement twice. God provides everything that the church needs to succeed. God exalts the church. God provides for the church. God embraces the church. And you are Christ's, and Christ's is God's. You who are Christians, you who make up the church, you are Christ's. You belong to Christ in that capacity. As a Christian, as a member of the church, you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So Christ and the church, he is the head of the church. He is embracing the church, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Another way of putting it is, you are absorbed in Christ if you are a true Christian, and Christ is absorbed in God. Boy, you talk about God embracing the church. He embraces the church as much as he embraces his own son. So what does this mean in a practical way? Well, what does this mean, for example, about church selection, finding the right church? Well, please understand that in Paul's day, that was an unknown practice. There weren't any choices. You couldn't go to Corinth and say, well, let me try Church A. Oh, I don't like that one. Let me try Church B. Well, that one doesn't quite fit my needs. Let me try Church C. There were no choices. There was one church in Corinth. So you had to accept that one for all of its strengths and weaknesses, and that church had a lot of weaknesses. I hear people who just can't find a church. There's no churches that please me. Listen, understand how highly God values the church. Find the best one you can. Get in, get involved. There are several hindrances to finding a suitable church, I've observed. Number one is overdeveloped sensitivity to the shortcomings in churches. Of course there are shortcomings in every church. We are still imperfect, and will be until we get to heaven. Sometimes there is an underdeveloped awareness of your own shortcomings. Strange how many shortcomings you can find in others, and in this church and that church, and as if somehow you are the epitome of perfection, the paragon of virtue and of all that is good, as if you are superior to all that. No, you're just like the rest of us. You are a fallen son of Adam, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and still have too much Adamic sinfulness within you, and that's being sanctified. And God has designed that the church, relationships between Christians within the body of Christ, interacting with one another and being taught the Word of God, and growing in grace and knowledge together, that's the way God works those imperfections out of you. That's the way God works those imperfections out of others. That's the way God works those imperfections out of the church. Quit being such a snob, as if you are the perfect one, looking down your nose and finding every other Christian and every other church is just not quite measuring up to your high standards. Boy, have you got an overinflated opinion of yourself. But another reason why people seem to find it difficult to find a suitable church is because they have an underdeveloped understanding of God's purpose for the church. When you see what Paul is talking about in this passage, you realize God highly exalts the church, and God has chosen to use that as his means to get his work done in this world. And that doesn't please you? Think that through. So here are lessons about church selection. Find the best one you can and get into it, imperfections and all. Here are lessons about church ministry. How do you best serve the church? Reject human wisdom, even if it comes from Christians. It may not be divine wisdom, it may be human wisdom. Commit yourself to divine wisdom and give yourself to the work of the church. Stop treating church activity, church relationship, as incidental or optional. It is not. It is not incidental. It is not optional. It is highly significant, and it is expected of all God's people. And therefore, recognize the centrality of the church in God's plan and purpose, and get seriously involved. That's what this section teaches us. If you wait till you find the perfect church, you'll never get involved. If you drop out of church every time somebody rubs you the wrong way, you won't get much involved. You'll just keep getting offended and sidetracked and never get anywhere. You need to pray scripturally. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Notice how that's put. It's your trespasses first that need to be forgiven, just like it's the beam in your own eye first that needs to be removed. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Don't get so focused on what other people have done and ignore your own soul, your own spiritual health. Learn God's wisdom. That's the whole point here. Learn God's wisdom in regard to the church. Learn God's wisdom in regard to your relationship with the church. Accept God's wisdom in these matters, and you will honor the Lord, and you will find great usefulness in the kingdom of Christ as long as you are in this world. May God help you to do it. Until tomorrow at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace. Amazing grace.